I'm Damien the DM from Adventures in Aurelia, a collaborative storytelling experience told through a game of Dungeons & Dragons, part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other epically geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Welcome to episode 287 of Better Podcasting. On this show, we continue our podcast media host discussion talking about Spotify for podcasters, formerly known as Anchor.fm.
But first, in this week's Better Podnerings, topics include IAB version 2.2 prep, the live space streaming app, and podcast website badging, not to be confused with badgers.
And finally, in this week's Better Podback, we go shopping for podcast gear with our Discord buddies.
Lauren, let's go shopping together. Start the show now.
This is Better Podcasting. We are hobby podcasters through and through, just like you. That's why we are different. We minimize the money talk so that you can focus on building a better podcast.
Welcome to episode number 287 of Better Podcasting. I am Steven, and I am pleased to say SP is still here this week.
It was a close call this morning. I might not be here, but I am here. So let's take advantage of the situation and have fun podcasting about our hobby, podcasting.
For what it's worth, had you, not been here, eventually I would have recorded this episode, and I would have made sure to give endorsement using an AI SP for all the things that you would never endorse. So just so we're clear, I got a plan. It will happen if... Hopefully not. But if it had happened, I got a plan.
Steven, you have permission to use my likeness as a future co-host for Better Podcasting, but you do not have permission to use my likeness for promotional products.
Oh, I like that. That's cool. I can make you endorse all sorts of blue Yetis. That's fantastic.
Let's not go there.
If you didn't know this, we are a hobby podcast, and one of the things that we like to do is talk about other hobby podcasters. So if you are a hobby podcaster and you would like to tell our audience a little bit about yourself, get in touch with us. Email podcast@betterpodcasting.com or come to our Discord at betterpodcasting.com/discord, because we're going to be firing up this season. Or getting it off the warmer, we're going to be getting the hobby podcaster profile back up, and we would love to have you reach out to us so that we can hopefully include you in that. And that's just a segment where we share some of the backstory about a fellow hobby podcaster. So if you're interested in that, please do let us know. And hey, while you are thinking about that, think about all the ways you've broken your podcast. Let us know. How did you break it? How did you fix it? Because we would also like to return the How I Saved My Podcast Story segment. So please get in touch with us about either of those things. And maybe you're saving your podcast through an AI SP. Just maybe.
Maybe. I will relate a short story. So last night there was a major storm that rolled through the area. And before that storm happened, I powered down everything so it wouldn't be hit by a power spike, even though everything is already on surge protectors and battery backups and everything like that. I'm like, I just don't feel like chancing it tonight. So one could say I have saved my podcast today because I shut down everything last night. And I don't know, Steven, do you shut down everything when you're done using it, or do you let it ride?
Usually I do shut my computer and stuff down. I usually have my audio mixer going 24/7. Unless I'm leaving for a sustained period. And by that, I mean multiple days. But yeah, no, normally I shut things down. Sometimes I sleep mode, but my mixers are going. They're getting the miles clicked away.
So they're susceptible to the active power surges.
Yeah, but also, if you had a lightning strike, it's going to die anyways if it's plugged in. So, hey, unless you got a whole house lightning protection system.
I have my kids come by every once in a while and, put their fingers in the sockets.
All right, well, let's get into our better podnerings this week.
Please.
This is the part of the show where we're talking about some podcast news or personal update related conversation. And this week, we're going to kick it off with some news that we teased last week. This is all about stats. And if you didn't know this, SP is all about stats. So he'll tell you about this one.
It came out last Friday. So we recorded our previous episode on Friday. So this was already out. And I wanted to leave it for this week. So we're talking about the new IAB guidelines version 2.2. They're out for comment until March 23rd, which is about a month or so. And several new items have been incorporated into the guidelines, according to their post, including a new detailed recommendation for calculating IPv6 metrics, which recommends truncating the addresses to the first 64 bits prior to calculating unique listener and download metrics using combination user agent and IP address. And I think my tech brain just exploded with that statement there, but it has to do with IPv6. And then the next one they said is a new section with guidance on user agent structure. User agents are basically where you get the downloads from. So Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever, that's a user agent. And then filtering guidance for Apple Watch OS user agents, because apparently Apple Watch OS can give multiple downloads for the same show, even though it's really just a singular download or a play. So they want to establish filtering guidance for that. And then language edits such as typo corrections and replacement of whitelist/blacklist terminology, as well as updated data for the podcast player market share section. All this is over the head of most podcasters, to be honest with you. And Pod News had a story out there for a certain things that they noticed on the IAB V2.2. And a couple of things that they cleared out was a requirement for companies to be clear whether they use a fixed or rolling 24-hour window for measurement. I think that's okay. I can understand that and agree with. A requirement to update safe IP address lists, such as those known for large corporations or universities. I think that's in relation to the whitelist, blacklist terminology that was mentioned above. And clarification that an ad can only be considered to be delivered if the overall episode download was valid. Interesting. Don't care about that as a hobby podcaster, but that's interesting that they're trying to count the ads delivered, which is the whole purpose of the IAB stats. And then a requirement for practices to be put in place to account for mass market technology changes in measurement reports. Pod News went on to say only 5 companies have undergone IAB certification in the last 12 months, and 10 companies are only certified to version 2.0. The IAB had required companies to recertify annually, and the website ordered that, quote, recertification must be completed by December 31st, 2023 to maintain compliance status, unquote. No companies have recertified so far this year, and that requirement was removed from the IAB website yesterday, and this was on February 23rd, so the yesterday was February 22nd, 2024. All right, this is just going to be a continued struggle. This is me talking now. I'm not talking about what was posted on IAB or Pod News. This will be a continued struggle between the industry wanting to minimize time and money spent on the stats effort while also giving advertisers the granularity they desire. You try to say that I can't. Okay. To the specificity, we'll go with that. To advertisers, the specificity they desire down to the minute demographics they can get. At the heart of this is also data privacy. You know, the whole thing about the GDRP of clicking, you agree for these stats to go out, and you get a sense of how you're being tracked online with it, right? Well, podcasts are also trying to track you at the same level, and they have ways to do it, but the actual podcast technology has been resistant of tracking you with the personal data. So it's a struggle right now between trying to get that demographic data from you and how long you listen, where you listen, all that stuff. They love that because they want to be able to advertise to you at the right place and the right time. And it's data privacy. And that's the issue there, right? It's also a struggle with the, we'll call them procasters or podcasters that podcast for money.
The road procasters? Is that, you got a problem with that? What are you talking about?
No, professional podcasters. All right.
Anyways, go ahead.
All right. It's a struggle for them because they want to get paid. I understand that, but I deplore the radio metric, the methodology that they're using, because I hate ads. And I do. As a hobbyist, I deplore ads. I hate radio and I hate podcasts for the ads. I rarely listen to podcasts that have ads, and I just can't pay for the free version or the adless version. So a lot of times I don't listen to those shows anymore. I mean, I might check them out and like, oh, is this worth it? If it's worth it and they have a version that I can pay through crowdfunding or Patreon specifically, and I can get an RSS that takes out all those ads, I'll do it if it's important to me. But if they don't have that capability, then I'm like, okay, I don't care. I'm not going to listen to your show. And this is a warning that I have for hobby podcasters, since we are the sole voice in the industry for hobby podcasters. Watch out for the industry to continue to put up creator paywalls for you as a hobby podcaster to have access to audiences without ads. I think that's going to be an issue going forward, because somewhere along the line, they're going to want to get paid for their service that they're providing, the podcast directory. So I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to phrase it a little differently this time. It is your access to the audience that they're going to impede without ads, or they're going to put ads in your show for you that you won't get paid for, and your audience will have to listen to it. So watch out for that. It might be coming.
The next topic that we've got in the better pod nerings here is about MySpace. So sorry, LiveSpace. Our co-host over on the Gonna Geek Show asked a question in our Discord, perhaps after he asked us behind the scenes in a group chat, if anybody had ever heard about LiveSpace. If you go to live.space, which I assume means that this is being live in space, but if you go to live.space, there is a site that says, quote, start your community on LiveSpace, join thousands of creators on the all-new social streaming platform. So there is a new social streaming platform, apparently. Now, how new it is, not entirely sure, but the website looks good, and they do talk about being able to paywall content, that you can earn real income, that there's apparently daily payouts, and one of the things that I thought was really interesting that they highlight right on the front page is the fact that they do say, quote, unlimited streaming, free 4K 60 FPS live streaming with unlimited storage. Now, the question is, how long will that last? Because unlimited is a big word. Unlimited's always been a big word in any form of web site or web-related hosting thing. Unlimited is very rarely true to the word. So who knows about that? However, this is something I wanted to check out. I'm really hesitant that anything like this is going to take off. It just seems like these sort of services do come up every now and then. And even, you know, Microsoft bought Mixer or whatever that was, had really good features that a lot of other platforms didn't have, even tailored towards gamings and super ultra low latency streaming and everything. And then that even wasn't profitable. So I think the niche here, the market for this sort of thing, and where the niche might be for something like this is very small. But hey, I want to check it out a little bit. Why not?
Yeah, as far as price, it's comparable to what I'm paying for StreamYard at $10 a month for a beta, and which they don't offer to the public now, I found out. I think if you try to cancel your subscription, you might be able to get into it. But regardless, I pay $10 a month. I do have the StreamYard branding that is on my streams. And at the free level with LiveSpace, you can use it and you'd have their branding as well. And I don't know what that looks like because I haven't tried it, but there is the branding there. Also, if you want to connect with somebody else and stream, you're going to have to use a connection capability that has an ability to stream out. So we're talking like OBS. that has an ability to bring callers together or screens together, and then you stream out from there. So it is a little bit techie, right? And it looks like I might want to try it at some point in time just to try it, especially if I get unlimited at the free level. I will say that all of the other streaming capabilities that I have seen that you can connect and then you can stream out that have been for free become not free at some point. Either they close shop because they can't afford their business model, or they say, we're getting rid of the free tier and you're going to have to pay. So, okay, I get that. There is a paid option here, though, $7.99. Mm-hmm. But as far as I can tell, it's just to remove the advertising. So as a hobbyist, I'm like, if I can record it and stream it, why do I want to pay for it when I'm just going to download it and I'm going to throw it in an editor later and I'm going to cover up your branding? So, and I don't know if that's possible either, because I don't know how big the branding is. I don't know what it looks like, what the watermark looks like on there. But if it's small like StreamYard, I can cover that up with my logo.
Yeah, I am a little curious what the goal is of this, because it's hard to see where this fits into to needs, because like obviously if you're looking to garner a large audience during live events, whether that is live streaming or otherwise, you need to be in a place that you're going to get eyes on there. And I guess they have to grow for that to happen is sort of what I think. But hey, I do want to keep tabs on this, because at the very least, their site's very pretty, SP, so I'll give them that. So let us know, have you used live.space before? I almost threw a comment there. Let us know what's been your experience with that. And if not, is it something you're going to check out?
Next, we're going to talk about whether or not we're going to need badges. Do we need badges? Do we not need no stinking badges? I don't know, Steven. What's about the badges?
This week in our Discord, and again, you know, we're moving some of the Discord stuff into the Podnerings because it brings conversations. There was a conversation all about the possibility of getting a YouTube badge, because as we've documented on this in the live chat show, YouTube's been going through a bit of an identity crisis, particularly Google, with what they want to do with podcasts. So now podcasts are on YouTube Music instead of Google Podcasts. So naturally, you might want to have a badge for your show, images, or website, or whatever. Is there one available? That was the question that was asked. And yes, there is actually a YouTube Music podcast badge available. We'll make sure to put this into the links over at betterpodcasting.com/287. And we'll put the link to the YouTube page where they have some examples of the badges that you can do and some best practices in there. And it just says, listen on YouTube Music. So you might be interested in that, but I wanted to bring this up from the conversation of how are you using badges and what do you think is good badge etiquette? Because for me personally, I think if you start to put a bunch of badges in one place, I think it's pointless. I firmly believe that. I think if you go to a website and it's like, boom, big long list on the website, find me here, find me there, find me everywhere, it loses any importance of calling out a certain service. It all gets lost in the weeds. And I think that's the same thing. I think it's more so if you're doing like show art or something and you have a bunch of different badges. But I think you might want to highlight some key ones. If you know there's a demographic that you are targeting towards, or maybe you're putting material out that you think's going to get traction in a certain area, and I'm not really sure how you would know that, but if you do know that your target is to get people through YouTube, yeah, you might want to highlight the YouTube one because maybe you're more likely to get clicks. Or maybe there's an experiment thing where you go and you put certain badges on one piece of artwork, you put some on the other, and you kind of see which one's getting more people there. So if you want to throw this on, you can for YouTube, but I would like to know what are people's thoughts about badging etiquette as far as find my podcast on X, and not X as in the service, as in X is a variable.
There you go. I was going to say, hi, promoting the X now. That's kind of unique. All right. I don't have too much to say about the badging other than I want the main ones available, the ones that are 80 to 90% of where my listeners are. I want those available. Other than that, I know there's going to be onesie twosies. There's going to be people that want their podcatcher that's 0.003% of the downloads overall or something like that. Okay, I get it, but unless you're going to contact me, I'm not going to put it up there. I'm going to do the main 4 to 6, basically, and then that's going to be it, if I ever did this. But this is coming from a guy that does not code websites at all. I will use podcast service websites. I haven't done it yet, but I am interested in trying out something like Podpage, where I could create a website specifically for a podcast using the templates that they have available. And it just, it's easier for me, and I don't want to deal with having a website. I did for a while, like with Voices Defiance. I think I did it with one other show too. And I just don't want to keep up with that. I just want to create. I don't want to get stuck in the website. And it's not like I'm selling anything on the website. Although, if you do have your own website, you do have the ability to put up different things that even for a hobby podcaster, you wouldn't be able to in other venues. For instance, articles and things of that nature are easier if you have a website versus just the podcast website. So anyway, that's my basis there. 4 to 6. And I will say, that's it for the discussion this week. Next week, we've heard rumors that iOS 17.4 might come out before we record this show next week. If it does, that will be out to the public transcripts. So it doesn't matter if you are a podcaster, if you're in beta, if not, but iOS 17.4 will have transcripts. And the important part there, I think, will be for a large majority of people that don't want to pay for podcasts or for transcripts, that they can then download that file and then use it and then re-upload that. So for a hobby podcaster standpoint, this could be, it's going to be round tripping, but it'll be easy that you don't have to use another third party. Just use the Apple Podcast. So I don't know how this is all going to work. I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see about that next week, hopefully. We're continuing our podcast media host service discussion for hobby podcasters. And in this episode, we're going to review the controversial Spotify for Podcasters. In our experience, Spotify for Podcasters has either amassed a fervent following, or perhaps they have an active messaging campaign, or maybe both. I say this because every time I post and highlight on the shortcomings on Reddit, the comments are met with negative responses through downvotes and counterpoints. And to a degree, this goes all the way back to the Anchor days as well. In that light, we know we've previously cautioned against the use of what was Anchor.fm and what is now known as Spotify for Podcasters. But for this review, we decided to give the service a fresh and fair shake, like we're going to do with all of them, and start from the ground up like any of their services that we are reviewing.
Question for you, SP.
Quest.
What if I have been having too many Canadian Molsons to remember the history of Spotify for Podcasters? Could you recap that for me?
I'm glad you asked. For many years, we've had concerns about Anchor. Then when Spotify bought them for a huge amount of money, and it seemed like they were going to use them as backbone for the platform, we felt less concerned about that. And now our opinion is, well, we'll get there. That's the purpose of this episode. But know this, just like podcasts last week, we're going to view Spotify for Podcasters from the lens of 2024. So while that's our history with the service, let's not forget the history surrounding Spotify for Podcasters and learn how the service got to where it was today. Anchor.fm was founded in 2015 and based in New York City. In February 2016, Anchor's iOS app was launched, allowing anyone to create short, and by short, I mean about 2 minutes, audio clips. In September of 2016, Anchor.fm released its first Android app, and Anchor 2.0 released in June 2017 and allowed users to create podcasts using the app. That is where Anchor.fm entered into podcasting, June of 2017. In February of 2018, Anchor version 3 launched, and an updated app and a long-awaited desktop recording dashboard were included. The news that Spotify acquired Anchor.fm along with podcast production company Gimlet broke on February 6th, 2019. And although the total acquisition cost of both Gimlet and Anchor was reported to be about $340 million, the specific Anchor.fm acquisition cost was not really known for a while, and it was reported to be around $150 million. On March 9th of 2023, PodNews reported that Anchor was rebranded as Spotify for Podcasters, and the capability also announced the ability to upload video. So this turned a lot of heads. Not only was Spotify for Podcasters free, but it also had a video capability, which countered YouTube. We'll get into that later. In February 2024, which, Stephen, I'm checking my watch. It says February 2024. So that's month.
Wow, that was just like recent.
Yes, a couple weeks ago. Spotify for Podcasters announced some notable changes to their service, including removing its own audio editing tools and partnering with Riverside.fm. It also removed the music plus talk capability, which was basically the ability for people to have a music podcast. And it discontinued the ambassador ad program, which funded a lot of hobby podcasters. Needless to say, Spotify for Podcasters has been a very dynamic service over its history, and with many significant changes along the way, with the time period between 2019 and early 2023 being the service's most stable. And we're beyond that at the moment, just because they've had a lot of radical changes since late 2023 into 2024. And in full disclosure, neither of us have used Spotify for Podcasters or its predecessor, Anchor.fm, very much. In fact, neither of us have considered using Spotify for Podcasters until we made plans to check out the services for this season of Better Podcasting. And I will admit, since then, I've hosted both a video companion show on the service and another just an audio podcast on the service, which I have obtained permission to do. It is not my own show. It is a show that has been canceled since 2017, and the owner allowed it to pod fade. And again, I want a foot stomp. I've taken another show with the owner's permission to place it back on the air so that we can check out services. Because I really just didn't want to screw around with any of my shows. But I had this other show that was pod faded, so I'm like, oh, you mind if I put it on there? Yeah, okay. And Steven, what is your experience?
Yeah, and really my only experience has been that over the years on the Gunna Geek Network, there have definitely been some members who have hosted on Anchor or Spotify for Podcasters. And this has given me an opportunity to do some superficial testing over the years. But really my only core experience has been with our testing for this. So there's your full disclosures aside as we go into this. And now that we've laid that foundation, let's go ahead and get into the highlights like we've been doing with these media host reviews. It would be remiss if we went any further before spotlighting one of the biggest benefits to Spotify for Podcasters. And say it with me, it's free. Yep, totally free. There's no hosting costs whatsoever, and there's no upgrade add-ons to buy. We would say that the affordability is there, and really the best way to put it, 5 out of 5 for affordability, because it's free. Of course, what you see is what you get. We'll come back to that a little bit later. There are some shortcomings, or at least neutral sides, which you could probably look into the idea of, okay, affordability could mean cost versus features, but in the end, once again, it's free. So that's why we got to give it a 5 out of 5 for this rating, even though I'm sure lots of people could discuss the concept of the term affordability. Let's talk about one of the binary criteria that we have as we're looking through this. And this is something that I think is overlooked, but might be important if you're on a service that could potentially change at any point, whether or not there's a 301 redirect capability. Yep, it's there. It's really simple to set up too. If you do go into the podcast settings, it's right there at the bottom. There's options to redirect or delete your podcast. So if you are moving off of Spotify for Podcasters in the future, going to something else, have no fear. At the moment, there is a 301 redirect option there. There's also no data limitations to Spotify for Podcasters, which is huge because we've talked about some of these data limitations in some of the past services that we've reviewed over the last couple of weeks. With Spotify for Podcasters, there's no limit of episode file size, no limit on the amount of uploads in a month, there's no download limits, and nearly all other services that we've seen have some form of the limits, but not here on Spotify for Podcasters. Of course, this approach does potentially bring in the question of viability in the future. Who knows? They've done it so far, but maybe we'll come back and touch a little bit more on that in a future point as we get to one of the other sections of considerations.
Now, let's move on to one of the areas that quite frankly surprised us, because we had been told one thing for a very, very long time, and that's the idea of having multiple shows on one account. Does this really matter with Spotify? I don't know, because it's free and you can just create another account and upload. Well, we've seen many reports of only being able to use the Spotify for the one show per email address. However, both of us, when we set up our accounts, and I don't know if this is new or not, but when we set up our accounts, we were given an option to add an additional show. When you add a second show, switching between the two was really easy. On the settings, an arrow was now presented next to your show name, and clicking through that brought you to a show selection page. So as far as we can see, yep, multiple shows are allowed under one account. And of note, on the RSS feed settings, you can select a different email address for the show. So in theory, this means that you can have one admin account behind the scenes, but have different public-facing emails. Now, with that said, it's unclear how many shows or RSS feeds could be on the same account. Neither Steven or I went above the two limit, but it looks like it's at least two. So in the land of hobby podcasting, where the option to host multiple shows on one service is desired, Spotify for Podcasters seem to be able to accommodate this capability. While it's unknown whether Spotify will ever embrace podcasting 2.0, they have dabbled with transcripts. I have experienced a read-along block, a quote-unquote read-along, that's what it was labeled, on the desktop web interface once. While it wasn't a full downloadable transcript, I tried and failed, it was much like the song lyric interfaces I've seen on other platforms, kind of like the Amazon Show device. It actually shows the read-along as it's playing a show, which I don't do often, but I know is there. So we'll file this in the highlights section for now, but if Spotify never fully rolls out the transcript or read-along capability, or never evolves the capability, then this might be a neutral at best in the future.
Now, another pro that we'd like to highlight, the setup process. It was pretty well thought out, in our opinion. When you start a brand new podcast on Spotify for Podcast, they lay things out in a way that kind of breaks it down to bite-sized blocks. That's really easy, I think, for anybody to understand. It's basically multiple steps. It walks you through getting your show, your first episode uploaded. Then it gets you to enter the show details. And then it brings you to the third section, all about the money, the monetization section. And it actually clearly tells you it's optional at that point, that basically you're done. So overall, the setup process for someone starting and adding a brand new podcast was pretty straightforward if you were starting a Spotify for Podcasters account for the first time. We'll leave that little asterisk there to come back to.
Moving on, the next thing we want to highlight is the reliability and affordability criteria. We're going to give this one a pass for Spotify for Podcasters. One, has Spotify ever been down? Yes. Two, was it for extended periods of time? No, not really. In our observations, we haven't noted a lot of downtime for Spotify for podcasters in particular. So we're going to make the call that Spotify for Podcasters passes this criteria and place it in the highlight section for now. In the future, of course, this could change. This could change with any of the capabilities that we're looking at. But for now, we'll say this passes. And the last thing we want to highlight is video. There seems to be an uptick in the demand for video, and Spotify for Podcasters is encouraging this. And it is through the site. There's a lot of reference to video, and it also encourages creators to replace audio-only files with video. They make the process really easy to upload a video file and then have it converted. And it's a lot faster than YouTube, by the way. And Steven, you had some experience with this?
Yeah. So what I did was I did a test of uploading a video file with an audio track in there. And of course, because, you know, it was a video with audio, it's a podcast. So I uploaded it to Spotify. And what ended up happening is on the other side of the conversion, I was produced with a 128 kilobit per second MP3 that was in the RSS feed. Now, I do think it's of note, when you're in the dashboard itself, there's a download icon there to download the audio for the file. And for some reason, that download there takes me to an M4A file, but the RSS has an MP3 file. So I'm not sure, but I do think if I was doing this show, for example, with Spotify for Podcasters, it would save me a lot of time. I would just upload the video file with that. The video files that I upload to YouTube every week is a lot higher quality than the MP3 version that I produce. And I actually produce it at lower than 128 for the MP3. So it would save me time. I would just have to render the video every week and upload it to Spotify for Podcasters, and it would take care of making the MP3. So definitely a potential time saver if you are somebody doing a video podcast.
There is a caveat to the video capability for Spotify for Podcasters, but we'll leave that one for later and just leave this in the highlights section for now. Moving on to the neutral section, there's actually a lot here. Spotify for Podcasters offers a pretty simple import capability and it's easy to use. However, there is a slight complication. Most, but maybe not all, podcasters have decided to distribute their show into the Spotify listening platform already. If you already have your show on Spotify, there is a process to verify ownership of the show through email. I haven't used the capability myself, but I haven't heard anyone having problems with it. So we'll say it works for now, but it is an additional step if you already have your show on Spotify. Spotify for Podcaster statistics are currently not listed as IAB compliant. However, Anchor.fm stats are. The certification date that is listed on the IAB site is listed as October 27th, 2020 for version 2.0, which is now admittedly long in the tooth since we just talked about version 2.2 coming out soon. But as long as the stats are consistent and you can easily track your show's own performance over the weeks and the months versus your own episode, that's okay for me. And it is unknown at this time if Spotify for Podcasters is pursuing an update to the certification. We just don't know who is in the pipeline for that or not. So just don't know if they're going for the 2.1 or 2.2 certification.
And we are giving the benefit of the doubt on this one here. The stats themselves overall, like, you know, are there and everything. But the reality is we don't know, is the current version of the stats even related to what Anchor was certified for. It could be different, but under the hood, we don't know, but we're giving the benefit of the doubt on this.
That's fair.
Now, let's talk about websites, because if you're a podcaster, you might want to have a website, and Spotify for Podcasters kind of provides you a website. They give you a landing page on Spotify is what it comes down to, because it is your section on Spotify itself. There's no way to customize the page, but it does look pretty good. If you have a domain, of course, you could just go ahead and go to your registrar and redirect your domain to point to that landing page on Spotify. For example, SP did use his test show domain, scifiboneyard.com. He's got that forwarding over at this moment right now to the Spotify page.
I do, and the redirect works, and it comes up as the Spotify page. It's not my preference, but I just wanted to test out the fact that I was able to do it.
And if you are somebody that is looking to link to other places the podcast might be found, well, maybe put your badge on there. You can't do it. There's no customizing on that page. So really, it's trying to encourage everybody to listen through Spotify, but that might work for people. So I personally would really like to give this a no if I really dug my heels in. However, I also would like to myself equally let go of those heels and understand that my needs for a website is not always the same as everybody else's, and this might serve as a place that people can go. It's not a traditional website, that's why I want to say no, but also people might just want to find a way that you can quickly listen to the podcast, and that might be good enough. So we'll leave it as a neutral. And I'm not saying, you know, this was a battle behind the scenes between SP and I. No, it's just, it was an internal debate that I had between angry Steven and happy Steven.
As far as the customer service criteria, we've read quite a lot of posts on social media and Reddit for me that are what amounts to horror stories of Spotify automation going in and deleting episodes or canceling a show. And it might be in error, at least that's what the post says. But eventually, these seem to get fixed in time, because I've checked. I've gone back and said, hey, how did this turn out? Or there was a legitimate violation of terms of service that caused the action. Maybe it was a DCMA takedown. Regardless, you get what you pay for in terms of customer service. And since you pay nothing to use the service, well, enough said there. The fact that many people seem to get a response was a pro in this column, but the idea of just outright deleting and awaiting the podcaster to contact them is a no-go for us. Thus, we're putting it in the neutral column.
Now, we've always said that monetization is not a big thing on Better Podcasting, especially when we're grading services, but we will acknowledge these as we continue to do each week. And there are two things that we think are of note with Spotify for Podcasters when it comes to monetization. The first is the Ambassador Ad Program. If you're looking for that and you're like, I've heard all about that, I'm so excited. Well, guess what? It was canceled in early 2024. So that's no longer around. The service does retain automatic ads, listener support, and podcast transcriptions, however, as possible ways of making revenue. So those are possible.
Another area that we had to put in the neutral zone is the dashboard. Now, the graphical user interface is modern and usable, and all things being equal, this criteria would probably find its way into the highlights section. However, the lack of a copyright field and the lack of more than one category tag in the GUI denotes that this is optimized specifically for the Spotify architecture and not anywhere else, such as Apple Podcasts, where they have up to three categories. And there's a significant number of audience listeners on other platforms like Apple Podcasts. So you'd like to be able to utilize their full capabilities over there. But Steven, you also went through an emotional roller coaster here.
I did with the website, and I want to talk about this in the website section because there's pros and cons to the way that you can log into Spotify for Podcasters. And so what I decided to do is use my existing Spotify for Podcasters account. Now, which one am I talking about? I'm talking about that I had an account for Spotify for Podcasters where I could see stats for the third-party shows that I had submitted to Spotify. This is called Spotify for Podcasters. It's actually treated as a separate service. So I thought, well, let's see what happens here. Let's go into this other stats dashboard version of Spotify for Podcasters, the non-hosting one, and I logged in. And so I went in and I saw that there was a little link, like has always been there, to claim your podcast. But there's also an opportunity to add a podcast. And that point there, it ended up giving me a hop over from the stats Spotify for Podcasters over to the former Anchor version. And as I went through that, I was able to link those two accounts. So it was basically saying, hey, we need to use your dashboard version to have permissions to talk to the Anchor version. And then I was able to go through the rest of the setup process. So I thought that that was really good, that if somebody already had an existing Spotify for Podcasters account, the old stats version, they could log into that and still get over to the hosting version if they decided to do that. But let's be totally real here. This is utterly confusing, as the references to the word Spotify for Podcasters is on both sites. We will come back to that. And the emotional roller coaster kind of continued as I was potentially getting confused by the two names. As I started to explore and set up the podcast, I found that things were sort of hidden or lacking. At first, the site looked really nice and clean and easy to navigate, like I mentioned about the setup. But then I just would go to a page and I'd be like, huh, I would think there would be more here in settings. So, okay, nice to set up. But then all of a sudden it's like, well, where's the features? And it's kind of hard to understand where certain things are. So for me, I think it really was an emotional roller coaster as I was looking at the dashboard setup right from the old Spotify for Podcasters.
Piling on to the GUI discussion for Spotify for Podcasters, let's talk about the mobile app for a second. While the interface is usable, logging into the interface, at least for me, was incredibly frustrating. Do you log into your Spotify account or your Spotify for Podcasters account? I had trouble logging into the app with both accounts I set up in the first day. It just wouldn't let me in. Now, once I got over that hurdle, and I honestly don't know what the hurdle was or what I did to get over it, or maybe it was just a time thing. Once I got over that, it became more normal, but it was still a frustrating start. And the app should not be an impediment during the delicate time for a new user going in there to try to set up a show. So along these lines, we said we'd come back to this. Spotify for Podcasters allows several file types, including video. On the surface, this is wonderful news, but it's not a video podcast since it's only available on Spotify. So you can't distribute it via RSS feed or move it somewhere else. And we'll talk about that in a second. But to be complete, here is a list of the file types that are listed for supportability on Spotify for Podcasters. The audio files are an MP3, M4A, WAV, or MPG. And the video files are an MP4 or MOV.
So let's move on to the shortcomings, because you're probably listening right now and you're saying, Steven, SP, I've heard all these things you said, but what about destinations? Well, this will be where we'll kick off that shortcoming section, because Spotify for Podcasters has a short list of possible areas to post your podcast to. The full list that they have is Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public. Now, personally, both of us do doubt the idea that there will ever be a list in there for YouTube Music, but just the fact that it's not listed right now saying YouTube Music and still says Google Podcast kind of indicates right now the currency of maybe the maintenance of it. I don't know. That's the theory we've got. But here's the thing. I said it's a list of places you could put your show because we couldn't see any of them really having any direct submission process. Now, over the years, we've talked about the pros and the cons to the idea of having your service automatically submit it. This has actually been something back in the Anchor days. There was some flack about that. But the ability for you to be able to automatically set up your shows through there is something that some podcasters, especially non-technical, might be looking for. So although there's pros and cons, we do think that even the ones that are commonly able to be automatically submitted, it would be nice to see that as an option. And then the podcasters could choose whether or not they use that. So overall, this destinations page feels like a bust to us. That's why we're putting it in this, especially when you add on that it does feel a little bit dated.
The next thing we want to highlight is the lack of an all-in-one recording solution. This came up on a post I saw just today. They were saying, yeah, my great aunt wants to start a podcast and I don't want it complicated. I just want one app on her phone. Many hobby podcasters that just wanted an easy way to record and publish use these features on Anchor and then on Spotify for Podcasters. Unfortunately, these capabilities are no longer going to exist on the capability. And when the transition happens, it's going to leave many Spotify for Podcasters users scrambling to find an alternative. There are free alternatives, such as Discord's CraigBot, a combination of Video Ninja and OBS, as well as the old way that we used to do it, Steven, Skype plus an Audacity local recording. Most of these options require you to have some kind of technical know-how, so it's completely opposite of the one app, all-in-one capability. And then you move on to paid options, such as Riverside.fm and Descript or Squadcast or StreamYard. They're available, but require you to pay. And a lot of hobby podcasters are like, well, wait, where's my free option that I used to have on Anchor.fm and Spotify for Podcasters? So when Spotify for Podcasters announced earlier this year in 2024 that their all-in-one tools were being discontinued, this hurts many hobby podcasters and it hurts them hard. And all of them will need to either find another alternative in order to continue their shows or choose to not do their shows anymore because it's a technical hurdle that is too much for them.
Now, moving on to the next point here, we know what you're saying right now. You might be looking on the video side of this show right now, and you might be saying, okay, so on the right side, I see this fellow, and he works out every day. He takes the dog out for a walk every day. He looks like he's in good shape. He looks like he's a relatively healthy individual that you know will be around for a little while. But then on the left side, you go, there's that Canadian who won't get off the couch to get a refill for his third bag of chips. Where does the company health in Spotify land? Is it the SP side or the Steven side? Is it the questionable future of Steven or the I know he'll be around for a while side of SP? Well, at the moment, we're going to put this in the shortcomings section. I know that was a weird way to get here because we don't know what the Spotify currently health is. So the reality is we've been on a roller coaster over the years with Anchor and Spotify for Podcasters because for a long time, free model, unknown with Anchor, a lot of people going over there. How are they doing this? Lots of questions. Will they be around? And then Spotify went and ended up purchasing Anchor for an obscene amount of money. And then it's like, okay, it looks like Spotify's really using Anchor well, and they're encouraging a lot of people to get there, lots of ad revenue. I think there's probably a good chance they're going to be all in on this. It's probably pretty safe. And then this year comes around and a bunch of features are stripped. And so now we're kind of back to the unknown of Spotify. They are more on our concerns list right now for the Spotify for Podcasters, especially when you start to look at some of the areas that we think are feeling a little outdated, maybe a little neglected. So at the moment, we are putting this as a shortcomings because we don't really know. And there are some concerns back. The writing is back on the wall for a couple concerns of ours. So stay tuned. We could change this depending on what happens with Spotify for Podcasters. Maybe there'll be something that makes us go, okay, our concerns are no more. They've been alleviated. We're good to go.
Moving on, while there are links in the podcast settings for Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, I didn't see them on my webpage when I set them up. I did check a couple of times. I'm wondering what those connections do. I mean, you put those links in there. I don't see them on the website. And are they automatic postings? And if so, they would need your passwords and they don't give the passwords. But I just don't see a link. And when I clicked on the icons or the badges on the website for Instagram or Twitter, it took me to the Spotify page on their app, not my own page. So I don't know what they're used for.
Yeah, this section here just is one of the elements to me that seemed neglected. It seems like there was maybe a vision there at some point, and it just never came to fruition. That's sort of the feeling that I had.
Another shortcoming that I'll quickly run over is I didn't see an option to download an episode from the Spotify web interface, which is usually where I find the ability to download an episode. I mean, you can play an episode, you just can't download it. So if anybody has that ability, I would love to see it. And my chief concern is, does Spotify do anything with the file? Do they change the file? But I guess if you don't download it, does it really matter? But if I want to download it and listen to it on the road, like I'm taking a plane trip or whatever over the ocean and don't have Starlink or whatever, or maybe I'm going caving. That's a better analogy to use. I'm going caving and I don't have access to Wi-Fi or satellites or anything. So I just don't know how that's usable just using Spotify. I think you'd have to use an additional podcatcher. So for now, I'm going to put that in the shortcomings. But if anybody knows of a way, an easy way, not a really technical nerd, oh, you can capture the file this way. No, I just want like a right click or a download button or something like that. And so I will put that in the shortcomings, both for the inability to download and the inability to check if they've changed the file.
Now, as for ID3 tagging, we'll just mention it looks like they have nothing to do with ID3 tagging. If you upload a video, there's no ID3 tags that come out the other side of the MP3 that's processed. There's no fields, there's nothing. So it looks like Spotify's position is, in all fairness, like some other hosts and podcasters out there, its opinion, which is that they're kind of irrelevant in today's date. So that seems to be the way it is. But if you are an ID3 person that wants to keep them all tagged, hey, they're not there.
I'll move on, and I will say this with a caveat. Spotify for Podcasters does not offer dynamic audio insertion that I saw. However, I will say that I chose not to take the monetization option. So maybe that's included in the monetization option, but specifically, I'm not talking about ad dynamic audio insertion. I'm talking about your ability to put your own audio in there. And we caveated that when we talked about our criteria a few episodes ago. So there is nothing I could see on that. So I'm going to put that in the shortcomings.
And finally, let's talk about the use of the name Spotify for Podcasters, as well as the fact that there are possibly multiple Spotify logins. The term Spotify for Podcasters is used across multiple services. It's across that dashboard stat service that I mentioned earlier that was used first. And now the what was Anchor service, the media hosting service, that is also called Spotify for Podcasters. When you actually go to log in for Spotify for Podcasters, you're actually presented, though, with three options for some reason. On the login page, there's the two that I just mentioned, plus there's a thing about Megaphone in there. So, as someone new trying to log into their service that knows nothing about the history of Spotify and their podcasting endeavors, how confusing is this? They have literally an area that says not sure which to choose and then gives you an explanation. That's insane. That's so confusing. And then you throw in the fact that there's still a level of Spotify for Podcasters feeling a little bit different than the core Spotify service. There actually might be some users that have split their accounts because of the history of Spotify for Podcasters with the dashboards. They might have their old Spotify Music account that they've had for a very long time, and then through the various changes with Spotify, they might have a separate account for their podcast. So there's a lot of confusion there, and I just think that it's potentially a problem for somebody who is easily daunted by multiple listings, multiple ways the term is used. I think it's a disaster.
In conclusion, Spotify for Podcasters will probably work for some hobby podcasters in 2024, and that's largely because of two main factors. One, its ability to upload a video and have it to make an MP3 right there in the service. You don't have to do anything. Again, this seems to be an emerging trend in the creator space. And two, more importantly, it's free. After taking a good look at this, we're of the opinion that if the service wasn't free, it probably wouldn't get the fanfare that it does, especially because any podcast that can be submitted to Spotify, so there's not really an on Spotify factor involved, you know, the cool I'm on Spotify thing. We're sure there was a time where built-in tools such as the creator tools and enhanced monetization were probably big pros of the service, and arguably it helped lead the charge in modern podcast hosting advancement. But now it feels a bit more like a shell of what it once was. We definitely don't want to downplay the fact that Spotify for Podcasters has a bit of a leg up on the emerging video trend by being so pro-video outside of YouTube. But on the other hand, overall, there seems to be a lot that feels free, which is shocking considering where it once was, particularly the alleged $150 million price tag that Spotify paid for the Anchor.fm capability.
This is where we here at Better Podcasting turn the show over to you as we run through some of your feedback. We call this segment Better Podback.
Let's start the Better Podback about Target. Are you ready for your Target board here?
Yes, I'm ready for the charge. So over in Discord just a couple of days ago, Randy Walker posted a picture, and it was of a display rack at Target, which honestly isn't very noted for its long-term standing support of the podcasting industry. However, there is more.
Or by the way, their long-term standing support for the Canadian consumer industry.
Okay. So what they have here is Randy Walker took a picture of the Rode display at Target. Now, admittedly, Rode is more than just podcasting. There's music creators there, there's streaming creators there and stuff like that. But some of their big ticket items here are podcast related. There's the microphone arm, the PSA 1 that was there. We saw a pod mic there. I didn't see if it was the USB pod mic or if it was just a normal pod mic. They did have the, I forget what their streaming device is. And there is some emptiness in the shelves there that I didn't know exactly what devices were going in there. I hesitate to say a Duo or a Rodecaster Pro 2 was in there just because that's a lot of money sitting on a shelf at a Target. And I just don't think that the company wants to put that much investment in it, either Rode into Target or Target into Rode. And if you look at the divisions there for the boxes, they don't look big enough to have one of those devices in there. So I think it's awesome, though, because if you're a burgeoning creator and you have a Target around, because some people are in walking distance of a Target, then you can go and you can buy some stuff to at least get started and just have it. Or maybe your tech fails you on a given day and you're like, dang it, I really need this microphone to do this big interview. You can run to Target and get it. Now, I know there's other places around, and if you have a Target, you probably have other places and stuff like that. But I was interested in this. I was going to check my own Target because there's a Target on the way home from my work today. But unfortunately, because of an extreme weather event, I just wasn't able to do that today. So hopefully I'll be able to do it before we podcast next week. But this was pretty cool for me to see. I know there's some downsides here, but this was pretty cool.
At the risk of giving a multi-billion dollar corporation some free promotion, I'm going to pitch right now a ongoing potential segment on Better Podcasting. In this picture that Randy Walker has posted, they do have a bunch of gear behind the shelf. However, there is an actual display of gear on top, including a Rode pod mic attached to a microphone arm that appears to be right out in the open. So here's my pitch. I want you to get yourself a phone of some form or a video capture device. I want you to get yourself a handheld recorder with an XLR cable, and I want you to go plug into that demo and record a video about your quick Target cast. It doesn't need to be long. Just give me a video clip of using the demo pod mic to record a video for us so we can play it here on Better Podcasting. Call it the Target cast or something. Come up with something better than that.
The gear that Target usually has is real gear, so I don't know if you know, some places will put plastic stuff up there, cardboard stuff up there, or whatever. I don't know. I like I said, I did not make it to my Target on the way home today like I was planning to. So yeah, I will throw that out there too to everybody. I want to see what you are able to do with the gear that's there. And I like your design there, because if you're taking your own gear, then you don't need to power it.
Yep.
If it's an XLR, and if it's a USB, you can plug it into your phone. So, okay. the gig is on. We want to see as many videos as we can about the use of the gear at Target.
Moving on to the next piece of Better Pod back in our Discord, we had Bola come, and Bola said, just went back and listened to Steven's review of the SE215 in-ear monitors. Does Steven still use those, or is he on a different set now? The review was way back in episode 93, so that's a flashback. I don't even remember what it was I said. However, I can answer that question. I am still using the Shure SE215 in-ear monitors. I'm using the same ones that I got with a little note there. You can take the earpieces, disconnect them from the wire. At one point, and I know I talked about this on one of the shows, the wire that kind of you shape to the way your ear is to go around your ear, it broke through the plastic. But because these are in-ear monitors that are serviceable, you can go and buy yourself a new cord, and you just disconnect the ear tips, plug them onto the new wire, and I'm using that since then. So they're the same in-ear monitors, and I did at one point try some Sennheiser ones, didn't like them in comparison, so I am still using the same pair of Shure SE215s. There's some signs that maybe I will need to go and replace that wire again at some point, but I've had them for many, many, many years. I believe it was 2020 that I replaced the last wire. So, hey, I'm happy to service if I'm happy with it, but it's a good opportunity for me to look what else is on the in-ear monitor market.
I don't use the in-ear monitors, but I know Steven's been very complimentary of the 215s. So I'd like to hear, Bola, once you receive them, how you like them as well. And that's it for the Better Podback for this week. If you want to get a hold of us and give us any feedback from the episode, any feedback from the services that we're reviewing, go ahead, light us up on our Discord server at betterpodcasting.com/discord, or you can get a hold of us via our email. We still have that email, Stephen. It's podcast@betterpodcasting.com. And I do receive emails from it. Unfortunately, there's spam, but yeah, I do still receive email from them. So we know that the capability works. We look forward to hearing from you on any of your podcast related questions, concerns, comments. And in particular, remember, this season is all about the review of podcast media host services. So if you have anything to say about the ones that we have reviewed, if you want us to review one in particular, make sure you get that to us, because we're not going to cover all of them. We're just going to cover the major ones, or at least the major to us ones that we think are valuable for hobby podcasters.
Now, if all goes well, next week we will have a bit of a shakeup in the way we're talking about media hosts. You might hear a third voice, and we might be double tapping on a couple of the services we've discussed to date and a other voice of opinion. So hopefully, if all goes well, you never know. Never know with the way that space debris is trying to hit me, tornadoes are trying to hit SP. You never know! So please do look forward to that, because I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully that will happen next week.
I'm looking forward to that. And with that said, so for episode 287, I'm the better one here. I'm SP.
And I am the health questionable one here, Steven. Thanks for listening.
See everybody next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of Better Podcasting. You can find the full back catalog of Better Podcasting at betterpodcasting.com. If you're into geeky podcasts, please check out the other podcasts on the Gunna Geek Network at gunnageeknetwork.com. This show was produced and edited by Stephen John Drew. Voice work was done by L.W. Salinas. Thanks again for listening or watching, and we hope to see you again next week.